Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with the K, the number 4, KIDS.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
In the air, he wants to snap that bat in half. Two down. Rick, do you think there's anything to be said in this day and age for, oh, what happened here?
He forgot how many outs.
Wow!
Well, that goes to show you, stay on first base, get your head in the game.
Well, the magician just
pulled a hat trick.
Turned two outs into three.
I like to keep some of those things in-house. I mean, I think it's, you know, we just got to make sure we're focused and locked in during the game. And, you know, sometimes our frustrations can distract us a little bit. And we had a good conversation, and I think that's behind us. You know, Javi's really important to this team. And you know, he's a leader on this team and sets a good example every time he's on the field. And, you know, one of the guys that I rely on to, you know, set a good example for all these guys, who I think highly of him and his skill set. So, yeah, I think it's just a little bit of lack of concentration. We talked about it, and that's behind us.
I was just surprised. Obviously, I never want to be out of the lineup. And you know, I just respect his decision. He told me why what happened, and you know, I just say, okay, it's your decision. Honestly, lost the outs. You know, I had the whole time that it was like two outs, and that's obviously what just happened. It was only one out, and you know, Tony Flo flew out to left field, and I ran like it was two outs. It wasn't like I wasn't doing something I wasn't supposed to do.
Well, the magician just
pulled a hat trick.
Turned two outs into three.
That's pretty funny. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is from Bally Sports, Ohio. With their call of the game, and they had the magician turning two outs.
El Mago.
Yeah. It's trolling of a
it
high.
Definitely,
I mean,
is.
There's no,
yeah,
doubt about it, but
it is.
It's actually not,
it's
the worst line I've,
it's
ever
amusing,
heard.
No.
And then you heard David Ross in the post game about taking Baez out of the game, and you heard Javi Baez himself on his reaction to being pulled by Rossi. And he made an error. He made a mistake. He lost track of the outs. He didn't deny it.
I think that
in the crowd, Dustin was yelling.
Dustin was yelling, I imagine.
Dustin thought he lost track of the outs because he didn't think
Javi. It was more than just, okay, the him running without knowing how many outs there were.
Yeah.
You could have seen it coming, I think, was part of the problem, because earlier in that at bat, you know, he didn't take a lead off first base. And then he was, caught napping when there was a fly ball. His head wasn't in the game. And I think that when he went to first base, that certainly they had to have seen that in the dugout. And that conversation probably was not just about the decision to run with, you know, one out and a fly ball, but, you know, what were you doing not taking the lead? How could you, you know, how could you be that distracted? What's going on in your head?
Right.
And you know what you need to do? Go think about it, because I'm taking you out of this game. And that seemed to be the tone that Ross took in the dugout. And Javi, as the cameras caught him, turns around and like, oh, he just benched me.
Yeah, he seemed surprised.
He seemed a little surprised.
Yeah.
But I applaud David Ross for doing what he did. I applaud him for being the manager that isn't afraid to bench a star player when he does something like that. Not every manager in Major League Baseball would have done that.
I mean, I'm not going to applaud him, because I think you have to do that. I think that you have to kind of, at that point, you got to say to the guy, come on, where's your head?
Oh, but I think that we've seen examples where guys.
No doubt about it. But I'm just saying, I think as a manager, you kind of have to do that. I don't think he was stepping out. He had good reason to take the guy out.
Absolutely, he did. Also, because of the way this has been going for the Cubs. Now, they're 10-10 in June. Nobody's going to overreact. They have lost. They're in a bit of a skid, even though they are in a first place tie with the Brewers. They aren't playing good baseball right now. Six out of the last eight, they've lost. They're not scoring runs, but they were sloppy against the Marlins up until Sunday. You know, the first two games, they were sloppy and things started to get away from them. This may be David Ross looking at what's happening, and he's living it as much as anybody is, and saying, all right, I want to get people's attention. I need to step in. I'm going to do the right thing. Take a seat, Javi. I don't care. That's not tolerant. We're not going to tolerate that.
Yeah. I mean, look, he did it last year with Kyle Schwarber. I can't think of any other examples of it, but it's not the first time it's happened. And, you know, guy makes a mistake and you feel it's important enough to send a message to the team. The team's not playing well. You don't want to take your best players out of the game. You don't want Baez sitting and not playing, but it maybe in the long run, it's worth it.
And the baseball gods were right on cue. First hitter the next inning.
That's right.
The replacement, Alcantara, is at shortstop.
Uh-huh.
Ground ball on a play that Javi would have made.
10 times out of 10.
Becomes an infield single. Two batters after that. The home run makes it 3-0, and then the game's over.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's not like you're rewarded for that, but you probably did the right thing. All right. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Kevin. He's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. That Cleveland audio is hilarious. And even though I'm a Cubs fan, that is good stuff. I have no issue with what Ross did. I'm not mad at Javi. You know, he normally plays hard, but he deserved to be sat down. But what I would like to see from our manager, if he's going to have a little spine in his back, you know, a little steel in his spine, you got to bench the right fielder.
Yeah.
You have to. The other thing you have to do, and I like Dustin, why on earth would the Sox, who have already passed the vaccine protocol, trade for a guy with a 588 OPS, a lunatic wife who likes to argue with people on Twitter, and he's not vaccinated? Why on earth would the Sox want to trade for Eric Sogard? He needs to be DFA'd. He's horrible. And David, one last thing. You're not getting Trevor Story, who is he might be the most underrated player in the league.
I know.
He's great.
No,
yeah, you're not getting it for Jared Kelly. As Mully said, they have no minor leagues anymore. They're all on the team. You're not getting Trevor Story for nothing. And no one wants Jake Berger or Gavin Sheets. Have a great day, guys.
All right, Kevin. But look, the question in the context, to defend myself a little bit, was what would be your most how ambitious would you be? Would you want to be more ambitious than Eduardo Escobar? Trevor Story would be ambitious.
Oh, it's very ambitious.
Now, you would have to give up more than just a pitching prospect to Jared Kelly.
You would have to give up. You would have to give up Michael Kopech and Garrett Crochet if you wanted to get Trevor Story.
Even for a rental?
Just for a half-year rental. Because the thinking would be that would make you a World Series champion.
Not without Michael Kopech and Garrett Crochet.
Presumably.
It probably is a hypothetical, ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous
sports
idea.
Talk radio conversation, yeah, it's fun to have.
It's beyond stupid.
Yeah, well, thank you.
No, for both of us.
I was asked to think ambitiously. Come on.
I wasn't picking on you. I said it's probably It's idiotic from the two of us.
By the way, the Bally Sports Ohio crew, I think, is Rick Manning and Matt Underwood.
Oh, is Rick Manning and Matt Underwood?
I believe so. Just for you
people. Well, the magician just turned two outs into three.
Credit where it's due. It's
pretty good.
We're sticklers for attribution, right?
Yes, so. And you're right. And we are sticklers for it, and it's correct. And I apologize that I wasn't given that information, so I couldn't read it. So I look like the idiot.
Hey, you called me an idiot.
I called us both idiots.
Okay. The Trevor Story thing is a bit ridiculous.
Why take it personally, you fool? We're not name-calling, for the love of God.
And just to clarify, thank you, Kevin, for pointing this out. Sox aren't going after Eric Sogard. That was totally a manufacture.
That was Dustin. Yeah. Dustin's like, well, why don't you take this guy off our hands because we're going to DFA him. And I said, no, we'll take the other guy. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, getting puffy-chested about what he wants in a deal.
Tomorrow's 5 at 5 question. Who will be a member of the Major League team in Chicago beyond July 1st? Eric Sogard or Yermín Mercedes?
That's a very good question. That's a good question for the 5 at 5. I think it should also be, is it time for Mitch to take Dustin and pull him out of the lineup for an afternoon? After that suggestion of the Eric Sogard trade. Joe is on the far northwest side. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Molly and David. How are you? Join the show.
Good. Thank you.
You know, I realize that Baez made a boneheaded base running mistake last night. You know, but where were the base coaches, you know, question mark? You know, when you're a base runner, you get the first base. That first base coach, he owns you, okay? You know, you can be a player and pay attention to the game, but you have to be a base coach. You also have a job. You know, you equally pay attention to the game, and you equally pay attention, you know, to the base runner. But as a base coach, you know, there's a simple strategy, okay? It's called being a reminder. You know, did he or didn't he remind Baez of how many outs there were? We really don't know that. You know, we're the ones looking in. You know, I applaud Ross for what he did by removing Baez from the game, but so would Leo DeRocher. You know,
right.
But if Leo DeRocher, Walter Alston, and Danny Murtaugh were around, both players and coaches, well, they would get reminders on the bad performance last night. But you know what? I remember years ago under Leo DeRocher, there were two coaches named Pete Reeser and Peanut Slaughter. They would put their arms up, let the base runners know how many outs are there. There's one out. There's two outs. When I hear crowd noise last night could have been a factor, you know what? That is a poor excuse. I may be old school, and I may be, you know, old-fashioned, but for the Cubs last night, school was definitely out. It's time to hit the books, guys. Thanks, Molly. Thanks, David.
Like it.
I love a good Peanuts Lowry reference.
That's right.
Cubs first base coach Craig Driver. I don't know that he didn't say things to Javi Baez. We don't know what role crowd noise played. I doubt that that's a thing.
We don't know how distracted Javi was, whether he was listening to the first base coach.
Exactly.
I would hope he did say something.
Yeah.
And I would underscore to all the coaches, hey, Javi lost track of the outs. Javi, who is a guy that has a lot of natural instincts, let's make sure we remind everyone for the next week, we're going to search the pitchers. And we're going to remind everyone of how many outs there
exactly.
are.
Exactly. We need to get to the search pitchers thing
That's
in a
awesome.
Second. But you know what? Javi's standing there in first base, and he doesn't take a lead. You can't tell me that Craig Driver, the first base coach, is in the background. He's got to be looking at us like, hey, Javi, take a lead. All right, let's see. He's got to be saying something, right? But if you're tuning somebody out, like if you were talking to me, but I'm really focused on the television screen or I'm looking at Ray for direction, and you're saying something to me, I don't hear you.
You know what?
I don't hear you.
But David, whenever that does happen, you will then clarify what did you say, and I know that because I'm always like telling Ray like what?
Huh?
How is that?
I
asked Ray earlier. I'm like, are you talking to me? Because I can't hear you. Or are you talking to Doug? Okay, then I don't have to hear you.
What I'm trying to do is it's funny, but. I don't know that I want to blame the first base coach because Javi Baez is a professional star player who should not need a first base coach's voice in his ear to say, okay, there's one out. Don't run if there's a fly ball. And, oh, by the way, you might not take a lead.
Listen, everybody makes a mental error. Everyone has a focus issue here and there. You should know the bloody outs that are on a particular inning when you're on first base. That's a very bare minimum. And I get it. Let's repeat it. Let's make sure everyone know. Well, guess what? Javi should know, and it shouldn't be something you have to repeat. Okay, if you wanna get on everyone and say, hey, let's make sure we repeat it, that's fine. But it's that the problem is the player ran to third base on an out. That's the problem.
Best part of this, he'll know next time. He'll know next time.
I would hope he would, for the love of God.
That's the message.
That's hardly a that's standard. The reason.
Well,
let's try Jim. Jim is in Hammond. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Listen, you know, this thing with Javi, why wasn't he sat down on the bench 3 months ago when he's standing at home plate watching a ball bounce off the wall and getting a single instead of a double or a triple? Every time he does something like that, he shows it's all about him and not about the team. He's a hot dog. And as far as the coaches reminding them, where the hell was Miguel Cairo when the Sox were in Cincinnati reminding Tony La Russa, hey, we don't need to put our pitcher on second base in the 10th inning. We can have another pinch runner.
That's a good point. And I think we talked about it at the time, Jim, that was an organizational problem. It was easy to blame Tony La Russa, but that should have been information he could get from somebody with that team.
Yeah.
That is a failure on all parts. He is the front man, so he gets the blame, and we make fun of it and we laugh about it. But that is an organizational letdown, frankly.
It was. Let's be clear here, though. I think there's a very fine line that you walk when you have a player like Javi Baez. I can sit here all morning and applaud what David Ross did because I think it was the right thing to do in the context of last night. But I don't think you always are going to react with Javi Baez the way you would with a Nico Hoerner, as an example, a young player who may be trying to, you know, prove his way on the way up. Javi Baez is a superstar.
Yes, he is.
He's going to be on pace, 35 home runs, 100 runs batted in. He's going to swing for the fences. That is who he is. But that is what you get. He's a spectacular defensive player. He plays with flair and flamboyance. And with that comes some of these other things. The fact that he's going to pimp some home runs every now and then. And boy, you know what? That's a double that he's going to turn into a single because he's watching it fly. You have to be more forgiving sometimes with the personality and panache of a guy like that. Now, when he crosses a line, maybe this is an accumulation of things. You've got to remind him every now and then. You're going to be held accountable for certain things. Last night was an example of that.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that difficult a move for David Ross to make. I thought it was the correct move, and I don't applaud him for doing the right thing. But, you know, I mean, I get it. Javi creates a lot of controversy because of the fact that he is flashy. He's a flashy player. He makes some unbelievable plays. I love him. I think he's a showman, and I think he does a great job with it. And I think that when they were in the Little League World Series and you saw all those kids, they were running up to him. Everybody wants to be the guy. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the son of Drew Brees or if you're just a normal kid that loves watching the game. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But you also have to play within the rules of you know, the knowledge of the game.
We'll
you got to know the outs.
We're going to do the pick six next. But I do want to revisit this idea that you broached early in the show about whether or not things like this with Javi will factor into any conversation or the thought process of whether to keep him long term.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
And delivers the 1-1. This is lined into center field. Coming in, Bryant. He dives and makes the catch. What a play by Bryant. It was a sinking line drive. He dove and got it right before it hit the grass. Out number three.
Was it good to see Chris Bryant back in the outfield and Patrick Wisdom back at third base? Is that their best lineup? Would you prefer Ian Happ starting and Jason Hayward sitting, or does it matter?
Oh, you know, Happer's having a rough go of it. I always am for Jason Hayward sitting. I really have very little time for Jason Hayward. So I think their best lineup is him on the IL.
I think Jason Hayward hasn't started three straight games since May for a reason. Because of what he's hitting, because of how he is a offensive liability and can't figure it out. So I do like the idea of Patrick Wisdom, who is going to run into one every now and then. He can hit the long ball. And Chris Bryant can play wherever you want him to play, for goodness sakes. He will make defensive play after defensive play. We saw it again last night. That is the best lineup. Happer, he can play center field. If you want to have a platoon there, if you want to kind of mix and match, fine. But I think your best lineup, if you're going up against, like today, a game that you really want, Chris Bryant and right, Patrick Wisdom at third base, more for him being mic'd up. He had some fun with that, liked that last night. Good job, Marquis. But, yeah, that is your best lineup for the Cubs.
A pick six to end the half.
If you were Rick Hahn and had to bring someone up from the minor leagues, would it be Jake Berger, Gavin Sheets, or Tim Beckham, and why?
You know, I like the Tim Beckham idea, but I'll go with Jake Berger. He's hot.
You love a good story. I could have called that one from last week. You love a good story.
I
and
do.
It would be an unbelievable story. That's all that is.
Listen.
You are a storyteller, and you want to write a column about Jake Berger's background.
He's 200 pounds, and he's coming off however different many surgeries, playing him at second base, seeing Jake Berger make the turn. I'm there for that.
That's hysterical to me. I knew you would go that route. I go with Beckham. You know, he's a former number one overall draft pick coming out of high school, I believe, by the Rays. Does he have a drug suspension? Is there still one hanging out there? Can you bring him up? I'm not even sure what his status is, because last I saw, he had taken some kind of steroid. Look, I think he's the guy that has some major league experience. And to me, that's all it comes down to. It'd be great to have Gavin Sheets, you know, maybe get hot for a week and give you a little your mean bump. But I think more realistically, it's a guy that's faced major league pitching before. I mean, if you want to bring in Jake Berger just to reward him for everything that he's gone through and the journey he's on and all that, it's a great story. I understand that he makes David Bodie look like some immediate sensation. But I don't know that he could play second base. I think you're talking about a guy at third base. I don't know.
We need to get some clarity on Beckham. Yes. It's a good one. He's 31 years old. He was suspended in August of 2019, 80 games, for testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug when he was with the Mariners. So we need some clarity there. We'll find it.
A pick six of 100 yards.
Does the fact that 11 of the 32 NFL teams play outside the city limits and 10 of them bear the name of the city they represent erase the argument that the city of Chicago can take away the hometown name of the Bears?
Yeah, I don't think they can take away the hometown name of the Bears. I really don't. And I don't want them to. I do think that the Bears need to get more people in their building. They need to find a way to get a bigger crowd. And if it means buying Arlington Racecourse and eventually building some monstrosity there, then I'm all for it. If they can drop a building in there, it is the only way forward. It is the future. But I don't honestly believe that when we sit here and go through and talk about the idea of changing the name of the team, I just don't think it's realistic. I just think that, you know, the only thing I would like clarity on is the people that work there at Soldier Field, the people that paid their PSLs. I just think there's a lot of people that are dependent upon that team being where it's at, and how you gonna deal with that? How are you gonna deal with businesses that are affected by it? All the rest of it. That's my number one question. And if you can figure out a way to make everybody happy, which you never can in life, that would be great.
I don't know if 10 of the 11 teams that play outside the city limits maintaining the name of the city erases the argument, but it certainly suggests that that shouldn't be an impediment here. It won't be the deciding factor, as it was maybe suggested yesterday by some people, that the Bears can't do this because they wouldn't be called the Chicago Bears, and that's going to get in the way.
Right.
I think there are ways around that, legally yep. and otherwise. I think there's a compromise position to be reached. That, to me, doesn't seem like a deal breaker. You want them to remain the Chicago Bears. They always will be to people in Chicago. So that almost goes without saying. I do think this. I do wonder this as this conversation continues. Can anybody in good conscience really look at the terms of the lease that runs through 2033 and think that it's in the best interest of not only the Bears but the city for them to maintain and stay at Soldier Field in that size of a stadium, given all the opportunities and given what the NFL is? Because the NFL wasn't this in 2002. It was many things, but it wasn't as big and as provided as many opportunities to make money as it does now. Things have changed, but I don't know that the thinking, if anybody thinks the Bears should stay at Soldier Field, reflects that.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
How interested should the Bulls be in any potential trade for Sixers guard Ben Simmons, who disappeared in the fourth quarter of Sunday's Game 7 loss to the Hawks? Should that interest be enough to threaten his future in Philadelphia?
The Bulls should not be interested in Ben Simmons at all. That will be something we have to ask. People will write columns about it. People will spend time talking about it. But did you watch the series? Did you see how much he was allergic to the basketball? He didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter when it mattered most in the games that mattered, that decided the playoff series. Why would you want to pay – first of all, why would you want that guy on your roster on the floor when it mattered? Why would you want to pay him $30 million to disappear in the clutch moments? Ben Simmons as a Bull, give me a break.
I got to tell you, I've heard a lot of people. I know I heard Magic Johnson saying, well, he needs change. He's got to get out of there, and they need a change, and everybody knows how tough Philly is. And then I heard Charles Barkley say – everybody's going around saying that they need a change and he needs to go, but who would ever trade for him? And that is the bottom line. This guy's on a five-year, $177 million deal. He's in the midst of it. You're going to trade for him? Are you delirious? Are you absolutely out of your mind? I don't know what options Philly has, but that's a lot of money, and you'd be nuts to take on a damaged player who obviously, you know, he didn't dunk the other night because he was afraid he'd get fouled and wind up on the free throw line because he can't hit a free throw.
34% free throw shooter.
Oh, come on.
And how about Doc Rivers asked point blank, can you win a championship with Ben Simmons as your point guard? And he says, well, I can't answer that question right now.
Oh, my God. I mean,
you just did. You know,
I get it.
You maybe, just answered it.
Maybe he's going to be worth more his value now than ever, but the problem is, of course, that he's being paid too much money and he has too much value.
It's a pick six.
What was your biggest takeaway from the Supreme Court's 9-0 ruling that the NCAA cannot bar education-related payments or expenses to student-athletes, mocking the notion of amateurism with strong and direct language?
Well, that's my takeaway, that they have mocked the idea of amateurism. And the idea that they brought up, especially Kavanaugh, what he wrote, if you read it, they're begging for a lawsuit for pay for play. And the minute you get that lawsuit going, you're going to win it. There's no way around it, because if it winds up at the Supreme Court, they're ruling in your favor, or at least one of them is, and he's going to make a strong argument. So I think amateurism is over. I think that the NCAA, their model has fallen apart, and I think that's been shown in the court system.
Yeah, on Monday, 9 Supreme Court justices signed the death certificate for amateurism as we know it in college sports. It's dead. And maybe it has been for a while, but this officially marks its time of death. And I think that people have to respond to that. People have to accept it more than they have. And I think more importantly, there's got to be changes made along those lines. And so this is a precursor to more moves, maybe more litigation, but it also is an affirmation of just what's happening in college sports and why these opportunities should be afforded to these student athletes and why they should be due compensation, whether it's related to their name, image, or likeness, or however you want to frame it. They deserve it, so it's time.
That is a pick six!
Ben Zobrist is suing his former pastor and counselor for $6 million, alleging he had an affair with Zobrist's wife, Juliana, while also counseling him during bouts of depression and anxiety. All that being said, I ask you the question, is any of this our business?
It really isn't. It's part of the job. Ben Zobrist is in the headlines across the country today, not because he's a World Series MVP, not because of his World Series ring, but because of these salacious details that came out in a court document about his divorce. It's very uncomfortable. You wish him well. It's the ultimate betrayal from somebody he confided in. Guy sounds like a slime ball. I don't want to pretend to know the details of his marriage to Juliana Zobrist, and you feel for their children because they've got to grow up now in this environment, having been exposed to some of these details play out publicly. It's hard enough privately. So your heart, to me, goes out to Ben Zobrist today.
No one's ever given a hoot about what goes on with my family, and I'm so pleased about that. Wouldn't it be awful if you read this after the fact,
my
if
God.
You were a kid and you went back and, hey, what, I wonder what Dad's career was like. Whoa, what is this headline? It's just, it's awful. It's bad. It kind of made me really uncomfortable. I did read it, though, when I saw the headline, because I was curious about what went wrong. And frankly, you hear different rumors about different things. I always think that someone in a position of authority, I believe it was Lord Acton, the theologian that once said that power corrupts, of the papacy, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is corrupt, and this is awful, and I feel bad that a man of faith had this happen to him from someone that he was trusting. That's an awful thing to learn. And his wife doesn't get off either. She's responsible for her actions. The whole thing is sad, and it's it's just an awful, awful reality. All right, there you go. That's the pick six. I'm sorry we even brought that up, folks. It's the sort of thing you should, secretly read in the confines of your own home and not talk about in public. It's so sordid and it's just awful.
Yeah, I mean, it became an issue when he left the team. I think his personal life was on public display.
Yes.
Because of that. And then again, last month, I think it was when his World Series ring went on auction and he had to clarify that.
That
you
was
wondered.
Weird.
It was kind of strange.
Was it the pastor who took the ring?
I don't know.
I was making a joke. There's no truth to any of that I know of. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I made a move last year with a different player that was, I didn't feel like was fully engaged at
at a moment. And I think that there's more that led up to that decision, maybe a little bit, that you guys don't know about. But yeah, I think that, yes, if the circumstances were the same with anybody, I'm not trying to set an example of Javi ever. That guy plays his butt off and brings it 99.9% of the time.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, is David Ross. And that's an interesting comment there, David.
Yeah, it was. And I think that obviously Javi gets the benefit of the doubt most of the time. It was something that he felt like he had to do. You have different rules with different players, but David Ross is consistent with demanding focus, demanding, I think, intensity. He's that kind of guy. You know, I've been saying I applaud it. Maybe that's over too strong, you know, like the verb applaud, but I do think it was the right thing to do. So I commend him for, you know, I guess doing what seemed like the obvious thing to do under those circumstances.
Yes.
Because you can't tolerate that. No. Kind of in a game that, you know, it's on June 21st, you have the long game in mind. You've got the big picture view. You're doing this because you know that there are going to be bigger moments, and you want to, if not set an example, establish a standard. And that's what he's trying to do as much as anything. And I think that's what he has done. This Cub team is where they are to a large degree because their stars have played pretty well and they've got great bullpen performance. But overall, you've got to give David Ross credit for mixing and matching to the extent that he has and managing this team in a way that reflects the standards that he has set.
Yeah, I would say that that what's curious about that is that he mentions there are other things that we don't know about. I'm not sure what that means, to be honest with you, because I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I think he was referring to last year's Schwarber. There were, yes, things that led up to that I think that he referenced. And going back to that example, I think we probably can recall there were some things. It wasn't just that isolated incident. It was an accumulation, yep, of things. And maybe with Javi, it wasn't so much what happened last night as maybe he saw some things leading up to that. And certainly, as we referenced earlier, this wasn't a team that played very tight baseball over the weekend. Their focus probably was a challenge in the first two games against the Marlins. It was obvious they weren't locked in. So maybe it's related to that, but we never know. We'll never know the extent to which these guys, you know, interact on a regular basis. We just see what we see from, you know, for the nine innings that we're able to watch them.
And I think that I made a reference earlier. I said we haven't seen this happen. The only other one I can think about was Schwarber, and look what happened to him. And you jumped on that, like the idea being that Baez needs to go, like Schwarber had to go, and that those come into. I'm not sure that I believe that. I was just kind of making a joke. I think that the whole Schwarber thing was that he wasn't a very good outfielder and that his bat wasn't great. It was a money dump. That's all that was. They just were looking to figure out a way to save money, and so they dumped some players. They obviously, Lester's gone and Schwarber's gone, and they traded away Yu Darvish. They did all those moves, in my opinion, over salary, over money, over trying to prevent big spending. I don't know that Javi fits that mode. He could. I mean, if he gets traded or if he's not back here, it's because they couldn't come up with a way of paying him or figuring out a financial approach or whatever way you want to put it. It will come down to money, but I don't think it's the same thing in terms of kind of, you know, running him out after that kind of thing.
I don't think that Javi Baez's approach is going to be a deal breaker.
No.
Or even a factor in negotiations whenever they,
right,
resume about his future with or without the Cubs. I agree with that. And I know that you were not necessarily making that point because only from the funny standpoint of the last time this happened.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Kyle Schwarber left town. He's an ex-Cub. So is Javi Baez on his way to becoming an ex-Cub? Light him up. 312-644-6767. No, we're not saying that or suggesting that.
No.
And I think that's fair. But I do think this, Javi Baez is, of the three guys, seems to me the most amenable to making a deal, willing to budge. And so this is going to be, I think, big picture. If Javi Baez is, quote-unquote, Cub for life and signs a contract that suggests that, you know, that's what makes this kind of interesting, because David Ross and Javi Baez are going to spend a lot of seasons together, we think. And they're going to have a lot of success together, we think. And this is going to be a relationship that you want to be, you know, as direct as possible. And I like it because of all that comes with managing your friends and former teammates. David Ross has now done this consistently enough to think that it won't be a factor, and he is backing up what he said from day one. So good for him.
You know, we have a texter checking in about Jason Hayward and his needing to go more than anyone. You are stuck with Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward's not going anywhere. That's a Ben Simmons type situation. Okay, like nobody would want him. I'm just being honest.
Yeah,
he's a defensive outfielder, and he's a hell of a defensive outfielder. Nobody is going to pay top dollar for that, and it's top dollar. He's got a really nice, rich contract, $184 million deal, and he doesn't he can't hit. He can't get the ball out of the infield most times, and you know he had a double yesterday, but was it a double? It was a Hayward style double. It's just, I mean, if I think finally we're getting a lot of people that seem to be like, hey, wait a minute, that guy makes a lot of money, and he's no damn good. That's been going on for a very long time.
And he's got two more seasons after this. That's one, right. Making $24.5 million per year. So if the Cubs were to rid themselves of Jason Hayward, they would have to pick up a lot of money in any deal that would include him. Otherwise, he's just going to be a very highly paid, overpaid defensive replacement, pinch hitter, platoon player, because I don't think that at this stage of his career he has earned the right to be an everyday player.
And he's not getting any better. He's not getting better.
Seen him try in front of us. We talk about the pitching lab. Jason Hayward's hitting laboratory has been on display for everyone to watch. He's tinkering with this. He's tinkering with that. He looks so very odd. For somebody who is as natural of an athlete and looks as gifted as anybody, he could walk in an NFL locker room and feel like he belongs. Boy, does he have a very unnatural looking swing. And he never has looked fluid. And I'm not going to pretend to be a hitting coach or anybody that has a, you know, trained expert in that field. But boy, you would think that he would smooth out his stroke in a way that would reflect the rest of his athleticism, which is so fluid. And then he gets up to the plate and steps in that batter's box and everything changes.
Okay, this is an awful thing to say, and I don't mean to be as cruel as I'm about to be. He looks like a guy that's trying to be a switch hitter that can only really hit from the right side.
Like except we've never seen him hit from the right side.
That's my point.
So he's trying to learn left-handed hitting.
That's what I'm saying. That's how bad it is with a guy that size when he can't get the ball out of the infield.
Javi Baez taking left-handed cuts in batting practice looks more natural from the left side than Jason Hayward ever has.
That is a horrible thing to say about someone, but it's just awful. What's he batting, like 170 or something? It's just awful.
At this stage,
I know we got to look at all the numbers and everything else, but guess what? They're awful.
Well, they are, and you know, the intangibles are that's what people will say, though. Are there any Jason Hayward defenders out there anymore? Are there people who look at what he offers the Cubs in the way of being a good teammate? I don't know.
Let's ask. 312-644-6767. Does anyone want to defend Jason Hayward? And Dustin, feel free to call in.
You're 173 hitting right fielder, fourth outfielder, defensive replacement.
Yeah. And I mean, Ian Happ's having a terrible year, which just underscores how bad Jason Hayward is, frankly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it does. And I look at Jason Hayward, and what we always could say about him was, boy, you know, good teammate, great leader.
Oh, God.
And then, then a couple weeks ago, when he, you know, the whole thing with the vaccine.
Well, that's another one. It's another reason to wonder what the hell. And I mean, did you even understand his argument? Don't worry about me. Don't look at me. Go check out the fans.
I don't think anybody understood his argument. Yeah. Look, if his words were that off the mark during the rain delay in Cleveland, the Cubs never would have won the World Series.
Peoria Matt checks in. says Hayward for Simmons. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.